Hussein Anai from KGB, King James Version. Verse 1. Hussein Anai, verse 1. The authors of the King James Version titled this chapter, "The Lord Will Punish Israel." Okay, verse 1 now. "Rejoice not, O Israel, for joy, as other people, for you have gone a whoring from your God. You have left a reward upon every corn floor. Verse 2, the floor and the wine press shall not fill them, and the new wine shall fail in here. They shall not dwell in the Lord's land. Verse 3, but Ephraim shall return to Egypt, and they shall eat unclean things in Assyria. And verse 4, they shall not offer wine offerings to the Eternal, neither shall they be pleasing unto him. Their sacrifices shall be unto them as the bread of mourners. All that eat thereof shall be polluted, for the bread for their soul shall not come into the house of the Eternal." Verse 5 now. "What will you do in the solemn day, and in the day of the feast of the Eternal?" And verse 6. "For lo, they are gone because of destruction. Egypt shall gather them up, Memphis shall bury them. The pleasant places for the silver needles shall possess them, thorns shall be in the tabernacles." Verse 7, "The days of visitation are come, the days of recompense are come. Israel shall know, the prophet a fool, the spiritual man mad, for the multitude of thine iniquity and the great hatred." We have heard this many times. And verse 8, "The watchman of Ephraim with my God, was with my God. The prophet, a snare of a fowler in all his ways, and hatred in the house of his God." So if you want a title for this message, please write, "The prophet, a snare of a fowler in all his ways." The prophet, a snare of a fowler in all his ways. In verse 9 now. "They have deeply corrupted themselves, as in the days of Gibeah. Therefore, he will remember their iniquity. They will visit their sins." Verse 10, "I found Israel like grapes in the wilderness. I saw your fathers as the first ripe in the fig tree at her first time. But they went to Baal Peor and separated themselves unto that shame. And their abominations were according as they love." See that? "I found Israel like grapes in the wilderness. I saw your fathers as the first ripe in the fig tree at her first time. But they went to Baal Peor and separated themselves unto that shame." So they got really a whoring. "And their abominations were according as they love. As for Ephraim, their glory shall fly away like a bird from the birth and from the womb and from the conception. Though they bring up their children, yet will I bereave them, that there shall not be a man left. Yeah, woe also to them when I depart from them. Ephraim, as I saw Tyrus, is planted in a pleasant place, but Ephraim shall bring forth his children to the murderer." Wow. "Ephraim shall bring forth his children to the murderer." That's scary. And verse 14, "Give them, O Lord. And what will you give? Give them a miscarrying womb and dry breasts." So there's not really nothing in there. "All your wickedness is in Gilgal, for there I hated them for the wickedness of their doings. I will drive them out of mine house. I will love them no more. All the princes are revolters." In verse 16, "Ephraim is smitten, the root is dried up, they shall bear no fruit. Yeah, though they bring fruit forth, yet will I slay even before the beloved, even the beloved fruit of their womb." And verse 17, "My God will cast them away because they did not hearken unto him, and they shall be wanderers among the nations." Now, we will read the latest article by Mr. Flory. And this article is a prophesied gap in Trump's presidency. See, after the false prophecy that he made, being President Trump will remain as president. Now, he didn't even apologize. He just continued. And as we can see, he now prophesied again, a prophesied gap in Trump's presidency. So, this was written by Mr. Flory last June 26th, so just not long ago, like last week. He said here, God tells us what to expect next. Jared Flory, June 26, 2021. Quote, I hope you have been reading our news magazine, The Philadelphia Trumpet. In a series of articles, I have been explaining how the extraordinary political developments in America were actually prophesied in your Bible. These prophecies explain the crucial roles that the last three presidents, Barack Obama, Donald Trump, and now Joe Biden, played in end-time events in this nation. My, this is Mrs. Flory talking, or writing, my July 2021 article was titled, What Will Happen After Trump Regains Power? Many people are acting like President Trump is history. But as that article says, prophecy not only shows he will return to office, it provides astonishing detail about what will occur once he does. God is a powerful message to proclaim to America in general and its 45th president in particular. It is up to his in-time work that's then to make God's message as clear as possible. A key passage illuminating these events is 2 Kings 14, 26, 27. I'm still reading the article. History is also prophecy. So, let's go to those verses. 2 Kings 14, 26. For the Lord saw the affliction of Israel, that it was very bitter, for there was not any sharab, nor any left, nor any helper for Israel. In verse 27, and the Lord said not that he would blot out the name of Israel from under heaven, but he saved them by the hand of Jeroboam, the son of Joash. And notice this. This is not the article of Mr. Flory. This passage is about Israel. Okay? This passage is about Israel. And in Bible prophecy, the nations of Israel are mainly the United States, Britain, and the Jewish state of Israel. These nations are now in advanced stages of decline and are at imminent risk of being blotted out. But God said he would not allow the name of Israel to be blotted out and that he would save them by the hand of Jeroboam. He did this in the 8th century BC through King Jeroboam II, and he has done it in our day through Donald Trump. So now he is clearly saying here that really Jeroboam where Donald Trump personifies Jeroboam. And then, verse 28, the article now, indicates a pause in President Trump's hold on power, how he won and recovered Damascus and Hamas, refers to him fighting in some way to reclaim his stolen election, and not by being voted back in at a future election. So we'll read the 2 Kings 14:28. Now the rest of the acts of Jeroboam and all that he did and his might, how he warred and how he recovered Damascus and Hamath, which belonged to Judah for Israel, are they not written in the books of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? Now continue in the article. The book of Kings is one of the former prophets. It is primarily prophecy for this end time. The other key passage regarding Jeroboam is Amos 7, verses 8 to 9. Amos chapter 7, verses 8 to 9. And the Lord said unto me, Amos, what says you? And I said, a plumb line. Then said the Lord, behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will not again pass by them anymore. And the high places of Isaac shall be desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste. And I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword. This passage, I believe, includes another indication of his pause in President Trump's power that I did not see before. See, he's trying to explain why there was why Trump did not remain in power. Because there's another prophecy that there's a pause. Okay? So, continue. A pause in Amos 7. This verse is in Amos 7, describes the prophet Amos' message from God to King Jeroboam. They also describe God's message today, which we will soon send to the modern Jeroboam. President Trump was in the White House for 4 years. And things worked relatively well during that period. And it's been written here. God's work supported Mr. Trump as God used him during his 4-year presidential term to save Israel temporarily, to keep the name of Israel from being blotted out. Let's read Amos 7, verse 8. And the Lord said unto me, Amos, what says you? And I said, a plumb line. Then said the Lord, behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will not again pass by them anymore. From Barnes commentary, Amos 7, verse 8, and it says here, Amos, what says thou? He calls the prophet by name, as a familiar friend, known and approved by him. And he said to Moses, I know thee by name, for the Lord knows them that are his. What says you? God had twice heard the prophet, two judgments upon his people he had mitigated, not upon the repentance, but on the single intercession of the prophet. After that, he willed to be no more entreated. And so he's written for Amos and a symbol, whose meaning he does not explain until he had pronounced their doom. The plumb line was used in pulling down as well as in building up, when Jeremiah says the Lord has purpose to destroy the wall of the daughter of Zion. He has stretched out a line. He has not withdrawn his hand from destroying. Therefore he made the rampart and wall to lament. And Isaiah, he shall stretch out upon it and the line of wasteness and the stone of emptiness. As you can read in Isaiah 34:11. And God said of Judah, I will stretch over Jerusalem the line of Samaria and the plummet of the house of Ahab. Accordingly, God explains the vision. Behold, I will set, that is, shortly, a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. The wall then is not the emblem of Samaria or any one city. It is the strength and defense of the whole people, whatever held it together and held out the enemy. So God here applies the plumb line at once to convict and to destroy upon conviction. And this judgment, as at the last day, God would not condemn without having first made clear the justice of his condemnation. He sets it in the midst of his people. See, in the midst of his people, showing that he would make trial of all, one by one, and condemn in proportion to the guilt of each. But the day of grace being passed, the sentence was to be final. I will not pass by them. Literally, I will not pass over to them. Uncle. Now continuing Mr. Flores' article. But verse 9 speaks of a time of desolation, wasting, and the sword. God says that he himself will rise against the house of Jeroboam with a sword. There is a very different picture than you get in verse 8. I believe there's a pause in the events between verses beside pause now for what is coming. Let's read now verse 9. 7 verse 9. Amos 7 verse 9. And the high places of Isaac shall be desolate, and the sanctuaries of this the high place of my to purchase the deed with a blameless gentle piety of Isaac, as well as the much strived faithfulness of Israel. It has been thought too that he alludes to the first meaning of the name Isaac was given from the places should be a laughter, but the laughter of mockery. The sanctuaries were perhaps the two great idol temples at Bethel and Dan, over against the one sanctuary of God at Jerusalem. Remember this one, always at Jerusalem, one sanctuary. The sanctuaries were perhaps the two great idol temples at Bethel and Dan, over against the one sanctuary of God at Jerusalem. The high places were the shrines of idolatry, especially where God has shown mercy to the patriarchs and Israel, but also all over the land. All were to be wasted because all were idolaters. And I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword. God speaks after the manner of people who, having been still, arise against the object of their enmity. He makes himself profound one with the instrument of his sentence, that what they do, he ascribes to himself. Jeroboam the second must, from his military success, have been popular among his people. Successful valor is doubly prized, and he had both valor and success. God had saved Israel by his hand. That's from 2 Kings 14:27. A weak successor is often born with for the merits of his father. There were no wars from without which called for strong military energy or talent, which might furnish an excuse for superseding a finiant king. Ephraim had no ambition of firing glory to gratify. Yet Amos foretells absolutely that the house of Jeroboam should perish by the sword, and in the next generation his name was to be put out. Unquote. And from John Gill's commentary, Amos, with regards to Amos 7:9, quote, "And the high place of Isaac shall be desolate, such as the 10 tribes of Israel who descended from Isaac, dwelt at Beersheba, in imitation of Isaac, and pleading his example, who worship there, though not idols as they, but the true God, and in commemoration of his being, bound upon an altar on Mount Moriah. But this, as the Septuagint version renders it, were high place of laughter, ridiculous in the eyes of the Eternal, despised by him, and so should be made so desolate. In the sanctuaries of Israel to be laid waste, the temples built for the cows at Dan and Bethel and other places. And I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword," or as the Targum, "I will raise up against the house of Jeroboam those that slay with the sword." This was fulfilled by Shalom, who conspired against Zechariah, the son of Jeroboam, and slew him and reigned in his stead, which put an end to the family of Jeroboam. Unquote. Now let's continue now with the article. President Trump is being brought back for one reason, to keep Satan. President Trump is being brought back for one reason, to keep Satan and his political Antiochus from blotting out the very name of Israel. I submitted here. He is saying as if Mr. Trump is already back in power. See, brought back, past tense, wow. If the first poll was not enough, he's giving another false hope. Okay, so see, he has written here, President Trump is being brought back for one reason. That's why in Hosea 9, verse 7, it said, "The prophet, a snare of the fowler, a trap of all traps." Continue. Look around today. This country is in a catastrophe. Radicals are destroying the nation, foolishly thinking that somehow they will be able to control these ruinous anarchic forces they are unleashing. And all this trouble we are already experiencing is going to lead to more trouble. "The sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste," verse 9 says. This is Mr. Flory, in his article. The word sanctuaries is interesting. It refers to false churches that God will allow to be destroyed. But it could also mean something more. Yesenius' Hebrew Chaldean lexicon defines the word asylum as asylum, protection, especially for those pursued by the law, institution for the destitute. The theological word book of the Old Testament states, metaphorically, the word is used to refer to a place of refuge. In the modern nations of Israel, it could be describing sanctuary cities. It could portray our sanctuary nation, where our leaders allow anyone and everyone to flow across the border. Many are looking for a better life, but others are violent members of gangs and cartels and smugglers bringing drugs, slaves, and thousands of destitute people here. How can this sanctuary nation policy not tear this nation apart? Our leaders do not even screen them, yet they insist that the nation spend billions and billions of dollars to manage this problem they are causing. Even when we have $28.3 trillion in debt that we can never repay, debt that will explode in our faces at any time. This is fiscal, political, and intellectual insanity. I commented here, really? Is God really more interested in the problems of this world? Or his family making it to the end? God is not even calling this womb. Not yet. His world, not yet. He is making sure it's one of his family, one of us, it's one of us will endure to the end. From his commentary again, Amos 7:9, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste. The temples built for the gods at Dan and Beth and other places. So that's why it is. Sanctuaries of Israel, it says, the temples built for the gods at Dan and Beth and other places. Now, continue with this article. Recognize what is really happening in this land. Those supporting God's work must know that we must begin to take action. God says he will rise against the house of Jeroboam with a sword. This means the terrible state we are in now is about to get worse. After the radicals have catastrophically weakened this country, the result will not be what they expect. I commented here. It was a very good statement when he wrote, this means the terrible state we are in now is about to get worse. But I believe he's talking as a physical nations foremost, and even including themselves in it, spiritually speaking. For if he is looking inside at it, inside, then he will definitely understand that that message he is giving is for ourselves, and specifically for PCG, as God's people, even in this end time. See, you can really see, Mr. Flory can really see, clearly see the problems of Israel. He can also know, he also knows the solutions for Israel. The only thing is the audience. The priority, he is prioritizing the physical over the spiritual. So instead of giving that message to spiritual Israel, he's giving that message to physical Israel. Did you know? They don't even have the opportunity to build the new system they imagine. A sword. Foreign attack is coming. They have weakened the country for another nation to destroy it. This destruction will block out the name of Israel. The land cannot bear it. Notice this one. He wrote here, God is going to bring Jeroboam back. At the time, we will proclaim God's specific warning message in Amos 7 verse 9 to the modern Jeroboam and his followers, and to those three dying nations of Israel, America, Britain, and the Jewish state. I commented here. Messenger Flory is 100% sure that God is going to bring Jeroboam back. And he said, quote, at the time, we will proclaim God's specific warning message in Amos 7, verse 9, to the modern Jeroboam and his followers. But the question, who is this Jeroboam that Mr. Flory is referring to? another question begs to be answered. Why did he not give the warning when the said Modern Jeroboam was in office for 4 years? And we already knew and believed that this Modern Jeroboam is Mr. Trump. He did prophesy that Mr. Trump, Modern Jeroboam will win the election, and it did not happen. And now he believes there is a gap and still waiting for Mr. Trump to come back so that they could give him a warning. We will try to understand why this is so. From the booklet, Great Again, by Mr. Flory, he's got a new booklet, Great Again. And a quote, this will be a long quote, and I will be reading the introduction as well as chapter 1 of the booklet, Great Again. Quote, "Make America Great Again. Do you believe the United States of America has been mainly a passive force in the world for most of its history? Do you have a favorable view of the Founding Fathers, the Constitution, separation of powers, rule of law, manifest destiny, freedom of religion, freedom of speech, free market economy, America's role in World Wars 1 and 2? If you do, then surely you are deeply alarmed by the state of America today. All of the spillers of American history and identity are being vilified and destroyed. America's educators are teaching oncoming generations to be embarrassed by them. Even the nation's leaders see them as shameful. On many foundational issues, they share the views of America's worst enemies. The nation's parent policy is utterly transformed. We have seen apologies, concessions, and surrenders made to dictators and despots, while long-term alliances like those with the United Kingdom and the Jewish state of Israel have been cast aside. Nations that have relied on America for leadership, strength, security, protection, and largest face a new reality and are having to force alternate relationships even if they undermine America." Then, note this is one. "There is a spiritual dimension to America's decline that most people do not see. The crisis facing this nation is not because of a bad president. The cause is far deeper." See, he mentioned the spiritual dimension, but he's always looking to the physical Israel. Continue. "But most people are unwilling to face it. Many Americans realize that the nation is off track and suffering. You hear a lot of people speaking out about what ails America and how to fix it. On one side of the political spectrum are people who are upset about many things, but who believe America's problems are a result of its past. They think the nation hasn't departed far enough from its founding principles of limited government, individual liberty, and free markets. Like the founders, they believe the federal government should be larger and more powerful, that it should claim more of people's income and redistribute it to those it deems deserving, that rather than safeguarding equal opportunity, it should impose and enforce equal outcomes. They believe America should be more like some of the worst failed governmental experiments in human history." I think they are referring here to communism. Continue. "The fact that these views have such a large and political following speaks volumes about how radically different the United States is today from what it was even one or two generations ago. You can read more about where these ideas originated and why they have become so popular in chapter 3 of this booklet. A lot of Americans are upset and anxious about America's direction, but tend to view the biggest problems as more recent. These people believe that the nation's economy, military, diplomacy, and global influence have gotten dangerously weak. They see trends like anti-American political correctness and rampant illegal immigration being threats to the country. They see that America is in trouble and they want solutions." Now enters the People's Messiah. Continue. Here it's written. "Donald Trump's presidential campaign in 2016 captured the support of this segment of Americans. Mr. Trump does an admirable job of identifying these problems and addressing people's concerns. His slogan is Make America Great Again. That slogan resonates with a lot of people who believe the United States has been mainly a positive force in the world. People who are not embarrassed by the nation's history and unique identity. Anyone who sincerely admires this country wants to see America made great again. The Bible has a lot to say about the state of America today. It explains the inspiring reason why this nation was so great in the first place, why it has been so richly blessed. The Bible also prophesied that these blessings would be removed in our day. And he has written here, America's problems are spiritual. Again, America's problems are spiritual, and solving them requires spiritual solutions. Could Mr. Trump's presidency be prophesied in your Bible? I'm going to explain some revealed truth to you that should electrify every American, and it will in time. That also includes every person on this planet. What you read in this booklet can be proved. Every chapter. Now notice this. The first chapter reveals some of the greatest fulfilled prophecy ever from God's inspired Bible. If you keep an open mind, it could galvanize your life as nothing ever has before. If you have living faith in this message, it will give you the most majestic reward offered in the Bible. See, they're so very good in creating a most positive outlook. Galvanize, most majestic reward offered in the Bible. Continue now, chapter 1. He's here. Who is the modern day Jeroboam? So we'll review it. Who is the modern day Jeroboam? Donald Trump's victory in the 2016 United States presidential election gives us a clear indication as to where we are in Bible prophecy. Most people pay little attention to Bible prophecy. But did you know that one third of the Bible is prophecy and 90% of that prophecy is for our day? In the weeks before the election, Hillary Clinton held a considerable lead in the polls. But in the sermon at the same time, I commented that I was leaning toward Mr. Trump being the winner. Why? Because of the entire prophecy in the book of Amos. The prophet Amos recorded a prophecy about a leader named Jeroboam. I want to show you that this is referring to a powerful individual who is on the scene right now. You can fully understand the Amos prophecy without knowing who Jeroboam is. I read again. We said he wrote here. You cannot fully understand the Amos prophecy without knowing who Jeroboam is. You desperately need to understand why God is revealing names in this book. It seems obvious that God is telling us we have now entered the time frame of Amos chapter 7. What does that time frame mean for America and for you? And he continued here. God has revealed to me more understanding from Amos 7. The book of Amos has some of the strongest prophecies in the Bible with little emphasis on the positive message. But there is great hope in this prophetic book. The time of Jeroboam. The prophecy of Amos 7 is directed specifically at Israel. The prophecy of Amos 7 is directed specifically at Israel. So just remember this keyword, Israel, Jeroboam. We will continue that later. Although the Jewish state in the Middle East took the name when it formed in 1948, when Israel is used in prophecy, it has a wider meaning. It is referring to the modern nations descended from the 12 tribes of the biblical nation of Israel. It's the glory of God. This is a foundational truth that you must prove in order to understand the Bible's prophecy. It is explained in exciting detail in Herbert W. Armstrong's book, The United States and Britain in Prophecy, a book that we will gladly send you free upon request. Look now at the specific of this prophecy of Amos. Thus he showed me, and behold, the Lord stood upon a wall, made by plumb line, with a plumb line in his hand. A plumb line is usually used in measuring a building or a construction, but God uses it differently here. This is about measuring the destruction that is to come upon the nations of Israel. This destruction is not random. God is measuring it carefully and precisely, and it will bring about the most wonderful results imaginable. And the Lord said unto me, Amos, what says you? And I said, the plumb line. You see the Lord, behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. See here, midst of my people Israel. I will not again pass by them anymore. This is God speaking. In recent years, he has warned the nations many times to try to wake them up, but they have ignored these warnings. So he says, I'll warn one last time. He's giving these people one last chance to repent. We're entering the last time that God passes by the people of Israel before they are destroyed. This is a time of extreme urgency. And notice, still, this is Mr. Flory writing, this is in the context of an in-time Jeroboam. Verse 9 continues, and the high places of Isaac shall be desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste, and I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword. When God says, I will not again pass by them anymore, he's talking about them being destroyed in the time of Jeroboam. Let me interject here the chronology that Gerald Flory now believes in order. I think it was taken from my Skill David episode title, Who is the Modern Day Jeroboam? First is the time of Jeroboam. The second is the Great Tribulation / Day of the Lord. And the next is the Return of Christ. So, time of Jeroboam, the next is the Great Tribulation, Day of the Lord, and the next is the Return of Christ. So, what he says, what he believes now is that we're right now in the time of Jeroboam. Continue. This is Mr. Flory. Writing, who is Jeroboam? Who is this specific man that Amos prophesies will be ruling the superpower of Israel when the final warning ends? There are two nations that prophetically have the name of biblical Israel in this end time: Britain and superpower America. God is telling the end time nations of Israel how to solve their problems and difficulties, and to warn them of the consequences of the failure to do so. This chapter states that God is going to rise with a sword against them in the time of Jeroboam. The Moffat translation renders the end of verse 9 as, I will attack Jeroboam's house. There is something very upsetting to God about the house of Jeroboam. This is why he wants us to understand it, and why it is so offensive to him. God emphasizes the U.S. superpower, the leader of the nations of Israel, the U.S., is led by a modern-day Jeroboam. When there is a type of Jeroboam on the scene, then God will send the sword upon his people because of all their sins. It is because of America's sins that it must suffer. This is something to think about. Here is a severe end-time prophecy, and God is speaking about an individual. God names names. We must understand these names and the rules this man play if we're to understand these end-time prophecies. It is essential that we know who these individuals are. And continuing here, God gives us checkpoints in Bible prophecy. The time of the end, Daniel 12, verse 4, and then the last end, Daniel 8, verse 19, the last hour, 1 John 2, 18, Revised Standard Version. This prophecy, of course, in the Jeroboam time frame, or we could say the Jeroboam end, the last time God will pass by with his message, God will not bring this warning to his people again. The Jeroboam time is going to be the last time. I comment here. I just remember the news from ESN. Yesterday. Friday. So I think it was Thursday. Because I have written the comment from yesterday, I think. Yeah. So, in our chat group, it was posted. I think posted Thursday, or maybe early Friday. We'll see. So we read it. As you can see and feel, the people are being upset. What is happening inside the PCT? Cool. The following transcript was sent to us by a former member of PCG. Jared Florian skipped the program proclaimed God is going to speak to this world and this is new revelation. He kept talking about how you have to prove things or you are deceived. Following is the email with transcript. References to magazine titles by ESN. Did anyone notice on the recent key of David Jared Florian admitting that God has given more than 50 visions? So I can think of like 50 visions in the last 30 years that God has revealed. And I've proven them, and they're right. They're in your Bible, and you can prove it. Can't leave it at the end. It just speaks. This reminds me of Jeremiah 23:16. I'm still reading on the one written on the chat, our chat group. This reminds me of Jeremiah 23:16. That says, the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the voice of the prophets who prophesy to you, filling you with vain hopes. They speak visions of their own minds, not from the mouth of the Eternal. ESV version, English Standard Version. It is easy to see right through the key of David episode and how he is trying to scam you. Ooh, scary word, scam you. First, it starts with the typical doom and gloom. Next, he talks about faith. That you're not God's people if you don't believe what he says. Then he even reads Hebrews 10:38 to get you into staying in his church. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Then he tells his listeners not to trust any man, but to trust the man God is using. Lastly, he concludes asking his listeners to believe God. But what he means is that you should believe him. He says that God expects us to prove all things, but you can prove much of what Jared Florian says. How exactly would you go about proving the new throne of David? How do you prove whose voice he heard? Are you even allowed to question that voice? 1 John 4:1 tells us to test every spirit, for there are many false prophets. Are members allowed to test the spirit? What if Jared Florian is a false prophet? Jared Florian is trying to manipulate you. He is playing with your mind and your emotions. Use the same objectivity you would with anyone else and ask yourself, what is he really doing? Be honest with yourself. I'm still reading from the ESA news. He claims to be a prophet. He claims the PCD is God's one true church, and the biggest proof of this prophecy, according to Jared Florian. And then he wrote, yeah, I challenge every PCG member to name a prophecy that has come true. One prophecy that has legitimately become reality. When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the word does not come to pass or come true, that is a word that the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You need not be afraid of him. It's from Deuteronomy 18, verse 22, ESV version. Let's have a look at some of the prophecies speaks us to believe. In 2001, he told us that we were in the last hour, and then 3 years later, the last half hour. In 2005, he told us he was going to the cities one last time, even though he went again a decade later. In 2007, he told us that Obama wouldn't get into office. In 2013, he told us that Cricket Wood was prophesied. He also told us that Obama was the last president. And then he told us that Obama wouldn't leave office. In 2017, he told us that he bought the plane to go to the cities one last time again. In 2019, he told us that he had an open door in Jerusalem to buy one of two buildings, which both fell through. And just last year, he told us that Trump would remain president. He told us time and time again that Christ is about to return, that we will flee within 3 years or less, that this is the last president, that it is all about to end. He has been telling us for more than 30 years now. If you are honest, you have to admit that none of his prophecies have come true. Ever notice that he tends to prophesy retrospectively, meaning retrospectively considering the past? Because like, for example, with Joe Biden, Joe Biden became the president. And so now he's prophesying, there was a prophesied gap. Nobody will answer. So he is now telling us that Biden was prophesied because there is a force in Jeroboam's rule. If he is a true prophet, why didn't he do this before the election? Why did he spend $500,000 telling everyone that Trump would remain president if he knew that Trump wouldn't? If he is a prophet, then he is a lousy prophet at best. And if he is a false prophet, you should not fear him, as you should not believe his lies, nor his scams. Poor Mr. Glory. And he is written here, Jeroboam is a false prophet, a con artist, and a liar. It's big words. He's not going to take you to a place of safety, and you're getting a double crown for following him. And it's written here, cursed is the man that puts his trust in another man, Jeremiah 17:5. And it's got PS here, postscript. PCG members may think that the court case is an example of fulfilled prophecy. Jeremiah really talked about the message of David's lawsuit towards the end of the ski of David, which he has always called a victory. What it means, he said, God forced them, WCG, to give us more than we asked for. He declared that Mystery of the Ages is a synopsis of the entire Bible and is the second most important book on the earth. To read more about this lawsuit, go to Sol Capera to Philadelphia Church of God. This part will also link to the letter. Link to the letter. PCG did not win a victory in the WCG versus PCG court case. Jeff Lurie does indeed think that prophecy is proof of God. Real Vision, December 7, 2018. And initialed by MK. And that's from Uncle, that's from the ESN. See, you can see the anger of the tone of his or her writing, we don't know. Poor fellow. Yeah. And it's like the land cannot bear all his words. People are speaking out. Even PCG members still inside the PCG and ex-PCG members. PCG members. Let's continue with Mr. Pearl's article. This prophecy, of course, in the Jeroboam time frame, or we could say the Jeroboam end, the last time God will pass by with this message. God will bring this warning to his people again. The Jeroboam time is going to be the last time. If you understand this, it really makes Bible prophecy come alive to you. God is revealing the identity of significant individuals in Bible prophecy in this end time. Especially, I believe, like it's never done before. He wants us to understand this because it is leading. See, here. Notice this one. He wants us to understand this because it is leading. So from the Jeroboam time, it is leading directly into the Great Tribulation and then the coming of the Messiah. Though it is extremely distressing news in the short run, what it leads to is the greatest news you could hear. The land cannot bear his words. Amos' prophecy continues. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, Amos hath conspired against you in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. Amos 7 verse 10. God is sending his message into the midst of the house of Israel, into the very heart of America and Britain. the political church of God misses going to take center stage. Wow, it's a big word. He said here, the political church of God misses is going to take center stage. Comment. I commented here. They had that chance before and did blow it away. Maybe they were waiting for Amaziah to tell Jeroboam about conspiring against him, but it didn't happen the way they expected to. So no warning was given to Jeroboam. Now the God, they believe that he will come back so that they can give him warning. Yeah. So continue in this article. Just watch how this prophecy is going to be fulfilled. Just watch how this prophecy is going to be fulfilled. Very sure. God has spoken. It is our words that the land will not be able to bear. This strongly indicates that there are This strongly indicates there are serious problems plaguing the nations, or they wouldn't care what we say. But we have a message they cannot bear because it is about their destruction. At a time when the problems are so real, most people want to close their minds to what is coming upon them instead of repenting of their sins. And he asks here, who is this priest of Bethel? Bethel means house of God. Amaziah, the priest of Bethel. His prophetic language referring to a man who came from within the church of God in this end time. You can see from the prophecy in Revelation 3, beginning in verse 14, that the last era of God's true church before Christ returned, the very time frame we are in right now is the Laodicean era, a lukewarm church that has thrown its back on God. Amaziah is a religious, very religious Laodicean minister. Here Amaziah is accusing Amos, God's true prophet, of treason, conspiring against Jeroboam. Amos is the type of the man in this end time who is proclaiming God's warning message to Israel today. So this is a prophecy of this real class between a false minister and a true prophet of God. And he has written here, I believe Amaziah the priest is the same man as the leader of God's rebellious church, whom we battled with for copyright to the truth and message of God. Amos 9 verse 1, 11 to 12 as well. Amaziah hates our message. So, based on this writing here, still he believes that Mr. Jutikas is the man, is the Amaziah, which we know that he has already resigned. Continue. He is almost certainly the individual who led a 6-year court battle trying to suppress God's truth from going out of this world. Satan doesn't like that we won that battle and made him look bad. He never gets up when something like that happens. We are in the middle of Satan's worst wrath. The priest Amaziah is sending this message about Amos to Jeroboam. This is strongly indicated that in time Jeroboam has a religious following. He is leading people further away from God. Look again at Amos 7 verse 9 and you see more religious imagery. As our prophet in Amos, the lion's roar, explains the high place of Isaac refers to the Laodicean church. The sanctuaries of Israel are the religions of this world. Like the evangelicals, Mr. Trump received over 80% of the white evangelical vote and a large portion of the Catholic vote in 2016. He really is leading most of America's religious people. But where is he leading them? This is quite different religiously from what you find in Britain, the other birthright nation. Jeroboam is leading the superpower of Israel. I commented here, I just wonder why he is always saying the superpower of Israel. Did God even mention the word superpower? Just say, I don't have that written in the Bible. Now continue. Thus saith the Lord. A Messiah's message to Jeroboam is the land is not able to bear all his words. What words are the people to bear? Amaziah explains, for thus Amos said, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel shall surely be led away captive out of their own land. In the short run, this is bad news, but it is a message from God that must be delivered. This first priest will go before Jeroboam and say, this is what Amos says. He doesn't say that this is a message from God, but when Amos speaks, he says, hear you the word of the Eternal, thus saith the Lord. Amos came with a thus saith the Lord message. Amos is just the messenger. God gives the messenger his message and says, go and deliver this to my people. The world doesn't want to believe this is from God. They almost always look at it as a message from a man, but it isn't. This is what God says. It's such a powerful message that you cannot deny it is coming from God. But the world still tries. We all have human nature, but we must overcome it, or we too will think. Well, that's just a man's opinion. I don't think it's from God. We have to stay focused on that, says the Lord. This is a message from God. America has different messages coming from Republicans and Democrats, but the only message that will prevail is thus saith the Lord. Nothing else will succeed. This world must understand that. How well do you understand that God is sending out His word today? His word today. The message you are reading right now is coming from His mouth, and you can't prove it. This is His critical understanding that ought to sober anybody. For decades, His work has been warning America and Britain what is going to happen. But people have scorned this message and forced it aside. Yet, there will come a point when people cannot bear it anymore. Let's pause here for a moment. That's what we have read in the ESN news. People inside the PC cannot bear it anymore. They are upset of what is happening inside the PCT. Let's continue. So the message is wrapped in wonderful good news. Even though there's bad news, in the short term, this is the beginning of Israel getting to know God. There will be rough times ahead, but God is going to use those trials to help Israel get to know Him. We have to see the destruction in the context of God's plan. This vision will keep us positive. When you think about the end result, what could be more inspiring? At the time of the end, Jeroboam is going to be laden with problems and difficulties. But his biggest problem is going to be the message of God coming out of this organization. Our message is going to plague him. This is what people in this land are going to fear most of all. God is pushing them to face the warning message of their own destruction. This is a problem Jeroboam never saw coming. This modern day Jeroboam has made it clear that he knows little or nothing about the Bible, which is Jesus Christ in prayer. The King's Chapel. Here's what Herbert W. Armstrong wrote in his Mystery of the Ages. David's son, Solomon, became the wisest man who ever lived, except Christ. But he taxed the people very heavily. And when he died, his son Rehoboam became king. The people sent a delegation with ultimatum to Rehoboam. If he would reduce their taxes, they would serve him. If not, they would reject him as king. On the advice of the younger men among his counselors, Rehoboam told the people he would lay even heavier taxes on them. Thereupon, the people decided against the royal house of David. They named as king Jeroboam, who had occupied the office we would today call prime minister under King Solomon. Since Rehoboam was seated on the throne in Jerusalem, the people of Israel chose a new capital, some distance north of Jerusalem, under a little king, Omri. They built a new northern capital, Samaria. Jeroboam was a mighty man of valor and industrious, 1 Kings 11:28. But he ended up being a disaster for Israel, turning the people away from God by institutionalizing false religion. Remember these key words. So the people of Israel choose a new capital. So since Jeroboam was seated on the throne in Jerusalem, the people of Israel chose a new capital, some distance north of Jerusalem. And then, it says here, but he ended up Jeroboam, but he ended up being a disaster for Israel. So Jeroboam ended being a disaster for Israel, turning the people away from God by institutionalizing false religion. 1 Kings 12. The emphasis of Amos 7 on the house of Jeroboam could mean the leader of America in the end time is a physical descendant of the original Jeroboam. It seems logical that God would have an Israelite leader, a Jeroboam type whose ancestors were from ancient Israel in this end time, because our message is to one Israel. See, our message is to one Israel. The only thing is that he's warning the physical Israel. Mostly, or first and foremost in his mind, physical Israel. That's why, see, he knows the problem, he knows the solution, but the audience, the priority is not right. It's not in order. He is foremost on the physical Israel, not on the spiritual Israel. Or specifically there, or specifically modern day America, Britain, and the Jewish nation. We have to warn people that it is their sins that God is concerned about. There are Gentiles in this land, and they will suffer along with Israel. But God puts the blame on Israel, the house of Jeroboam. That is where the sword is aimed. You probably wouldn't have an entire Gentile leader in the office when God is punishing and destroying the house of Jeroboam. America is one of the birthright nations of Israel. God has blessed this land abundantly. Perhaps America's greatest sin is ingratitude to God for making America great. America's president says, "I will make America great again." Notice the big "I." I will make America great again, not God. I made myself great. That attitude is going to usher in the ultimate disaster. Men, they will think they can do magnificent things. That is one of the most deceitful thoughts anyone can have, especially when you are facing the worst disaster ever. Yet, that is what we are facing in this time of Jeroboam. America, the British peoples, including Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and South Africa, and the Jewish nations are facing horrendous problems. Only God can save these nations. For God to save them, our people must repent. Do you see evidence of that happening? I do not. We need a leader who will cause our people to embrace the living God, not a puny, helpless man. This modern day Jeroboam fights for many good causes, but in the process, he gets people to look to him as a solution, not the omnipotent, all powerful God. This is the great deception and the great sin. Also, Messiah said unto Amos, "O you seer, go fling thee away to the land of Judah, and they eat bread. Prophesy there, but prophesy not again anymore at Bethel, where there is the king's chapel and it's the king's court." And Messiah has been directed by Jeroboam what to say. He's saying, "Tell them to get out of here. This is the king's chapel, the president's domain. This is our religious place. Get out of this land, because we will have none of that message." This man became the evil Jeroboam because he's fighting against the message of God, along with Amaziah the priest, who is spiritual Antiochus. The modern day Jeroboam commits the same sin that Jeroboam did anciently. There is a reason God uses Jeroboam as the last one to the nations of Israel. The original Jeroboam committed a great sin, and the modern day Jeroboam is committing the identical sin again. What is that specific sin? What was Jeroboam's sin? It's still reading from Mr. Floyd's article. The book of 1 Kings is part of what is called the former prophet, and it's prophecy mainly for this end time, how to become a king. Notice what Jeroboam did after he received rulership of the 10 northern tribes of Israel. Then Jeroboam built Shushim in Mount Ephraim and dwelt therein, and went out from thence and built Penuel. And Jeroboam said in his heart, Now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. 1 Kings 12, 25-26. He prayed that the people would return to the house of David. They had just broken away, and he wanted to keep them separated from King David's throne. God had even explain the importance of the house of David to Jeroboam. 1 Kings 11:29-39. Let's go to 1 Kings 11:29-39. And it came to pass at a time when Jeroboam went out of Jerusalem that the prophet Ahijah, the Shilonite, found him in the way, and he had clad himself with a new garment. And these two were alone in the field. And Ahijah caught the new garment that was on him and rent it in 12 pieces. And it said to Jeroboam, take you 10 pieces. For thus saith the Lord God, the God of Israel, behold, I will rend the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon, and I will give 10 tribes to you. But he shall have one tribe for my servant David's sake, and for Jerusalem's sake, the city which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel. Verse 3. Because that they have forsaken me and have worshipped Ashtoreth, the god of Sidonians, Chemosh, the god of the Moabites, and Malcolm, the god of the children of Ammon, and have not walked in my ways to do that which is right in mine eyes and to keep my statutes and my judgments, as did David's father. So the reason why God has made Jeroboam to be the leader of the 10 tribes is, it's because this one, verse 33, because that they, Judah, because that they have forsaken me and have worshipped Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, Chemosh, the god of the Moabites, and Malcolm, the god of the children of Ammon, and have not walked in my ways to do that which is right in mine eyes and to keep my statutes as my judgment as David, as did David his father. That's why he divided the kingdom, God divided the kingdom, because of this, verse 33. And so, God has out here. Verse 34, howbeit, I will not take the whole kingdom out of his hand, but I will make him prince all the days of his life for David, my servant's sake, whom I choose, because he kept my commandments and my statutes. Yeah, remember that Solomon? Yeah, remember? When we have that sermon, the key of Solomon. Solomon started that because of his wives. So he ended up being, go after all the gods of his wives. Verse 35, but I will take the kingdom out of the son's hand and will give it unto you even 10 tribes. And verse 36, and unto his son will I give one tribe, that David my servant may have a life always before me in Jerusalem, the city which I have chosen me to put my name there. Verse 37, I will take you, and you shall reign according, see, this is God's warning to him as well. And I will take you, and you shall reign according to all that thy soul desires, and shall be king over Israel. And it shall be, if you will hearken unto all that I command you, and will walk in my ways, and do that is right in my sight, to keep my statutes and my commandments, as David my servant did, that I will be with you, and build you a sure house, as I built for David, and will give Israel unto you. And I will, for this, afflict the seed of David, but not forever. So that's God's. So the reason why he didn't divide it, because of that, Solomon did go after a hurry of the gods of his wives. And so he divided that the 12 tribes. Let's continue with the article, Mr. Flory. But he rejected God's instruction. Jeroboam wanted to keep the 10 tribes of Israel away from the house of David, denying the eternal promise that God had made to David too. What did he do? If these people go up to do sacrifice in the house, of the general of Jerusalem, then shall the heart of his people turn again unto the Lord, even unto Rehoboam king of Judah, Solomon's son. And they shall kill me, and go again to Rehoboam king of Judah. Whereupon the king took counsel, and made 2 calves of gold, and said unto them, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold, your gods, O Israel, which brought you out of the land of Egypt. See, that's why God divided, and then he goes back to the same practice as did Solomon. Continue. Jeroboam took them right back to the false god they had worshipped shortly after they came out of Egypt and rebelled against God and Moses. Jeroboam then polluted the priesthood by ordaining priests from the lowest of the people, which were not of the sons of Levi. Then he changed the dates of God's sacred holy days so they would be different from what they were under David and in Jerusalem. He had his own holy day plan, his own master plan. He rigged the system so he could lead the people and keep them away from the house of David. That was his great sin. Sadly, the people just went along. They turned away from God and worshipped this golden calf, just as they had done in ancient history. This culminated in terrible disaster. The same sin is being committed today. This is not difficult to understand or prove. Something is wrong with most of religions today, even those who claim to follow the Bible and to understand God. The modern day Jeroboam is causing religions to look to him, not the true God, the only solutions to our many destructive problems. It is going the same way it did anciently, only in this end time there's a much greater abundance of truth. How can we make sure we don't commit this sin? So he even asking, make sure we didn't commit this sin. So, judging by what he has wrote here, he knew the problem, he knew the solutions. Only again, the characters or the priorities of the audience that he's, or the message that he is trying to give, is the physical Israelites. The King of David, we need to view this spiritually like God does. You need to understand the importance of David's throne. This has deep meaning, physically and spiritually. I explain it in, this is Mr. Flory again, detail my book, King David, which will send you upon request. Okay. Do you have religions today talking about the King of David? How many traditional Christians who say they believe the Bible? Do you know who talk about and understand the King of David? It seems strange to them. The King of David is about a lot more than a man. It is most important message in the Bible. This is the key that explains the house of David. It is the ultimate all-inclusive message, the only message that Christ gave to his church in this end time. Yes, look, most people reject it, just like Jeroboam did. Isn't that amazing? They are following the spirit of Jeroboam. Herbert W. Armstrong was the leader of God's church during the Philadelphia era. And he had this key. The Philadelphia Church of God has remained loyal to God in the Laodicean era. And we have clung tightly to this key. The name of our television program is the King of David. We have produced abundant material on the promises God made to David in Revelation 3:7. God says that for those who have this key, he will open doors so they can deliver this message. We must get this. The King of David is the very heart and core of God's message today and throughout most Bible history. But he wrote here, but the Jeroboams keep rejecting it. They want to devise their own plans and live by their own rules. That leads to one catastrophe after another. Notice this promise of God makes his people feel a difference, because he has kept the word of my patience. I will also keep you from the hour of temptation, which has come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. He always goes back to the Philadelphia era. I think he missed one era here. That's why, as Mr. Armstrong explained, the U.S. and written prophecy on the physical nation of Israel, and is still clinging to that identity. He hasn't moved on. Continue. A grievous trial is about to come upon this whole world. Nuclear weapons are proliferating and they are going to be used. But to those who keep the key of David and promote it and teach it and have a word that delivers it, God promises protection. Read God's promise to David in 2 Samuel 7, 12 to 13. This is in the former prophet, and it's also prophecy for today. And when thy days be fulfilled, and you shall sleep with your fathers, I will set up thy seed after you, which shall proceed out of the bounds. I will establish his kingdom, and he shall build an house for my name and establish the throne of his kingdom. He shall build, establish the throne of his kingdom forever. This is an eternal promise. And thine house, the house of David, and the kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. That physical throne, the still physical throne, that physical throne still exists today. This wonderful, inspiring vision is all explained in the United States and written in prophecy. However, this promise from God is really talking about much more than the royal line of a mortal man. It is actually talking about the throne of God. This is God's throne, and it's going to rule from this throne from all eternity. God is inviting human beings to share the throne with him. If they will be loyal to him and fit the key of vivid missions, then he will give them the reward of being the bride of Christ forever, an unparalleled offer to any human being. What a reward God gives to those who are loyal to him before Christ can come in. This is what Jeroboam rejected, and the modern day Jeroboam is going to turn Israel away from the message of God and the throne of David. He is opposing the spiritual Jerusalem. He wrote here, he is opposing the spiritual Jerusalem, as Jeroboam did against physical Jerusalem ethically. I commented here. Mr. Brewer's prophecy or his understanding of God's prophecy is falling apart. Why is that? See, he is right in his understanding the problems and even the solutions of Israel. The other problem is only the characters, as I've been saying before, after time and time again. And the origins of his understanding of prophecy is not in order. The truth will be left in a book of remembrance. Chapter 2, the house of the spiritual Jews. So, the last in the book of remembrance, chapter 2, the house of the spiritual Jews. Mr. Armstrong was emphatic when he wrote in his book, the United States and Britain prophecy about the master key in the lacking Bible prophecies. One might ask, were not biblical prophecies closed and sealed? And they were, until now and even now. They can be understood only by those who possess the master key to unlock them. And the one single master key to prophecy as a whole is the identity of the United States and the British nations in this prophecy for today. That central master key is the identity of physical Israel. The United States and the British nations, even including the modern Jewish nation. But could there be a spiritual counterpart to that master key, i.e. the identity of spiritual Israel and spiritual Judah? To answer that, let us read what Mr. Flory wrote in the Royal Vision about the identity of spiritual Judah, the key of the house of David, Isaiah 22:20-25, contain an end time prophecy that God has revealed a great deal about to us, about Eliakim. Verse 21 says, the man who fulfills this rule shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. There is a spiritual and physical application to the scriptures, but we look mainly at the spiritual today. The house of Judah here is the faithful church of God. You could say, it is the house of the Jews. We are Jews, the spiritual Jews, and this man is the father to Judah. That's taken from August 2012, issue page 6. I think it's the Royal Vision. Mr. Flory emphasized that the house of Judah, in spiritual application to scriptures, is indeed referring to the Philadelphia Church of God. So when we read of the house of Judah in scriptures concerning the prophets in its end time, we can apply it directly to the Philadelphia Church of God, spiritually speaking. For better understanding, let us consider what Mr. Armstrong wrote about the distinction between the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Children of Israel become two nations. The house of Israel is not Jewish. Those who constitute it are not Jews. and never worse. The fact we shall now see conclusively beyond the Jews. No place in all the Bible does the term Israel refer to the Jews exclusively, when the sense is not national but individual. The term Israel alone, or children of Israel, or men of Israel, may and sometimes does refer to or include the Jews. Jews are Israelites, just as Californians are Americans. But most Israelites are not Jews, just as most Americans are not Californians. The Jews are the half of Judah only, a part of the Israelites. But when these people are spoken of as nations, rather than as collective individuals, the term Israel never refers to the Jews. House of Israel never means Jews, the United States and Britain prophecy, page 63-69. Mr. Armstrong continues, the average conception today seems to be that the tribe of Judah, which has remained carried the title of Israel. Most people seem to think of the 10 tribes as merely certain tribes driven out from the nation Israel. But it is, not this one, but it is Israel which now sets up its kingdom under the promised Jeroboam in the land of Samaria, north of Jerusalem. It is not Israel, but Judah, among three tribes, broken off from Israel, which is left behind in Jerusalem. So it is not Israel, but Judah, among three tribes, broken off from Israel, which is left behind in Jerusalem. The 10 tribes were not broken off from Israel. Israel did not remain in Jerusalem. Note that. Israel did not remain in Jerusalem. Instead, Judah was broken off from Jerusalem, from Israel. Page 6. Israel did not remain in Jerusalem. Instead, Judah was broken off from Israel. Have we heard of such news in recent modern history about a group of spiritual Jews that remained and stood by spiritual Jerusalem and eventually broke off from spiritual Israel? Read Raising the Ruins book. In this end time, there could there be a duality in the fulfillment of such a division? This time between that of the spiritual house of Israel and of the spiritual house of Judah? Well, the truth split between the worldwide church of God and the Philadelphia church of God could very well fit in to be the spiritual counterpart of that division in this end times. Read Malachi's message under chapter Church Division, page 114. Mr. Armstrong then further discussed that division between Israel and Judah. From any exhaustive concordance, you can learn that the first time in all the Bible the word Jew occurs is in 2 Kings 16:6. Nowhere in all the Bible before this does the name Jew appear. Notice it. The first place in the scripture where the name Jew appears, the Jews were at war against Israel. They are of a different national together. They are individually children of Israel, but they do not have that national title, House of Israel. In this end time, the spiritual Jews, the Philadelphia Church of God, were also at war with the spiritual Israel, worldwide Church of God. A strange coincidence? Not at all. Mr. Arthur often said that the fulfillment of Bible prophecy is dual. In his book, Transformed by Truth, Mr. Joseph W. Picard Jr. wrote in February 1997, we filed suit against the Philadelphia Church of God. One of our splinter groups headquarters in Edmond, Oklahoma, to block the republication of the Mystery of the Ages. The Worldwide Church of God still holds the copyright to this book, and we contend that no one else has the right to publish it. We feel it's our pressing duty to keep this book out of print. What followed was a grueling 6-year court battle between the two churches of God, Worldwide Church of God versus the Philadelphia Church of God. Here is what Mr. Flory wrote in his Habakkuk booklet. The Philadelphia Church of God has been involved in a court battle with the Worldwide Church of God, WCT, for well over 5 years now. We have been restricted from printing Mystery of the Ages and any other material by Herbert W. Armstrong for over a year. Now, Mr. Armstrong even emphasized that the distinction between the House of Israel and the House of Judah is vital in understanding prophecy. For many generations, Israel and Judah remained a separate nation in adjoining territories, having their own separate kings. Why should ministers and prophets, Bible students, be in ignorance of this whim? The four whole books of the Bible, 1st and 2nd Kings and 1st and 2nd Chronicles, are devoted to explaining it and recording the history of the separate rebel kingdoms. Look at the maps in the back of your Bible. There you will see the territory of its nations plainly shown. Judah retained the city of Jerusalem, its capital, and the territory known as Judea. Israel occupied the territory north of Judea. Samaria became its capital city. And the house of Israel often is called Samaria in prophecy. Verse 2 is a vital key to understanding prophecy. Samaria never referred to the Jews in prophecy, but always the 10 tribes, the house of Israel. We want to impress here that Israel and Judah are not two names of the same nation for the same nation. They were and still are and shall be till the second coming of Christ. Two separate nations. The house of Judah always means Jew. This distinction is vital if we are to understand prophecy, because the most so-called Bible students are in ignorance of this basic distinction. They are unable to rightly understand prophecy. Page 69 and 70. Do we get it? According to Mr. Armstrong, we will only be able to rightly understand prophecy if we shall see the vital distinction between the house of Judah and the house of Israel. So in principle, it could also apply this spiritually, as Mr. Flory did in his World Vision article referring to the Philadelphia Church of God as the house of Judah, or simply the split of Jews. While as for the worldwide Church of God and the other splinter groups, it would refer to the house of Israel in Bible prophecy for this last end. And it shall come to pass in that day, I will call my servant Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, and I will clothe him with thy robe, and strengthen him with a girdle, and I will commit thy government into his hand, and he shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. Again, as Mr. Flory, being the fulfillment of the end time Eliakim, shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, to the house of Judah, that is, to the BCG headquarters and the BCG membership around the world. Now notice this striking parallelism, which is the identity of physical Israel and physical Judah, America, and Britain, and the Jews of the Middle East. This is a master key to understanding of the end time Bible prophecy. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write these things, saith he that is the holy, he that is true, he that has the key of David, he that opens, no man shuts, and shuts, and then no man opens. While in this last end, God also has given Mr. Gerald Flory the key of the house of David, which is the identity, which is the identity of the spiritual Israel and the spiritual Judah. The Laodiceans, the worldwide Church of God, are the splinters group, and the Philadelphians, Philadelphia Church of God. It is a master key to understanding of the last end Bible prophecies. And the key of the house of David will lay upon his shoulders, so he shall open, and none shall shut, and he shall shut, and none shall open. From here on, we may now be able to understand Bible prophecies pertaining to the last end because of this key that God gave to Mr. Flory. See, even that, this another perspective, because like, see, during this time there was a battle between the worldwide Church of God, the Philadelphia Church of God, and the WCG. We consider the house of Israel, and other splinter groups, we consider the house of Israel, and the house of Judah was the Philadelphia Church of God. And another perspective is, when we broke off from the PCG, who now became Israel, and who now became the house of Judah? So we become the house of Judah, and the PCG became the house of Israel, and all other, the COG, all other Laodiceans. So if he only understand the audience of his, of the house of Israel, then he know where to deliver his message. That was from the just let me check whether I'm still. Can you still hear me? Okay. the time is great. Maybe I'll just so I think we will just make this part one, and we will continue this. So okay, I'll just have to conclude, and I'll make the other half maybe part two for this message. Where am I now? To conclude, in a way there will be part two. It's kind of just the introductory part of the message, although there's a lot of reading from the article, but at least we're able to establish why Mr. Flory's prophecies are keeping on pulling apart. So to conclude, let's read Hosea 9 again in ISB version. Verse 1, don't celebrate Israel like other nations would rejoice, because you left your God by committing fornication. Loving the prophet, you gained on all the Christian foes. Neither Christian prayer nor wild press will sustain them, and the new wine will disappoint her. They will not live in the Lord's land. Ephraim will return to Egypt, and they will eat unclean food in Assyria. They will present wine offerings to the Eternal, nor will they please him. Their sacrifices will seem like food for mourners. Everyone who eats them will become unclean. None of them will enter the temple of the Eternal. Verse 5. What will you do on the designated holiday when the Eternal's festival comes? Verse 6. Look, they have gone away because of the destruction. Egypt will gather them up, and Memphis will bury them. Weeds will overgrow their inheritance, and thorns will grow in their tents. The time for your judgment has now come. Payday is here. And Israel knows it. The prophet is a fool. The spiritual man is insane because of your great sin. The hatred against you is great. While Ephraim stands watch with my God, the prophet has snares set that will trap his ways. And hostility lodges in the temple of his God. Verse 9. They have corrupted themselves deeply as did Gibeah in his day. Therefore God will remember their lawlessness, and he will repay them back for their sins. I found Israel's one fine grapes in the wilderness. Your ancestors sent to me like the fruit gleaned from fig trees, first harvest. When they went to Baal-peor, they devoted themselves to the theft, and they become loathsome like what they love. The glory of Ephraim will fly away like a bird. No birth, no pregnancy, not even a conception. Verse 12. Even if they rear their children, I will in turn make them childless. In fact, woe to them when I turn away from them. Ephraim, as I see it, is like Tyre planted in a comfortable place. Ephraim will bear children, but they will be executed. Give them, Lord, what will you give? You will give them a womb that miscarries and dry breasts. All of their wickedness started in Gilgal, because I began to hate them there. Because of the wickedness of their behavior, I will drive them from my temple. I will not love them anymore. All the leaders are rebels. Ephraim is blighted. Its roots riveled. It can bear no fruit. Even if they bear children, I will kill their accursed offspring. My God will reject them because they did not obey him, and they will become wanderers among the nations. Happy Sabbath to you, my beloved brethren.